Greetings in Jesus' name. Blessing to be here this morning. It's good to see a good crowd here today, especially when I welcome the visitors. Glad to have Dave and Anna here with us, and also Brother Steve and your wife and family. Glad to have you here today. And whoever else is here, I'm not sure who all is here, but blessing to be together today. First of all, this morning I want to give a praise report. I want to praise the Lord for divine healing. Brother James prayed for me last Sunday, and I had a very excellent week. I had very little irritation from my pain that I had been suffering. I had a very good week. I had no problem at work. I had no problem at nights. Rested well, and I just praise the Lord for His touch. Praise the Lord for that. God is good, and it's a blessing to be here this morning. I was blessed with the worship service and our time together, and I trust that we continue to open our hearts together and hear from God. If you want to, you may turn with me to Micah chapter 2 for a scripture text. This scripture is a scripture that is a special personal gem of mine. I'll share more about it as we go on. In Micah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, I want to read. Micah 2, 12 and 13, it says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. The last verse 13 is mainly where my text comes from, where it talks about the breaker. It says, I'm going to read these verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible, it says, the breaker, the Messiah who opens the way, shall go up before them, liberating them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out. So their king goes on before them, the Lord at their head. I have another translation here I want to read, and it says, God will open the way for them out of exile. They will break out of the city gates and go free. Their king, the Lord himself, will lead them out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning we just wait before you, Lord, and we pray that you would break the word to us today as we wait before you, that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts and that we would receive of you that which you have for us. Teach us, lead us, go before us, be our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share a personal testimony of whenever I was a young Christian, when I was, I was probably a young married man, especially, I don't know, I had a passion to be, I prayed this prayer many times, Lord, I want to be nothing less than all that you want me to be. I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to do whatever it takes to get me where you want me to be. That was a passion of mine, a prayer of mine that I prayed many times. And as I was seeking God in this way, there was a time, a numerous times, that I would take my Bible and open it up, and I don't know if you know what it's like when a verse jumps out at you, just sort of jumps off the page. This verse 13, it says, the breaker has come. The breaker has come up before them. And, well, what's that mean? And sometime later, I open my Bible again, it falls open to the same place. The breaker has come up. The breaker. And finally, the Lord spoke to me. It seemed like he made it clear to me that I am going to break you. I am going to break you. The breaker is come. I am the breaker. And I will break you and make you what I want you to be. And as life went on, the breaker came in numerous ways. And it was always whenever difficult situations come, things seem to get out of control, this verse would penetrate my heart. The breaker has come. It's God. He's breaking me. He's taking me at my word, and he's working in my heart. Sometimes it seemed like he was banging me on this side, and the next time he's banging me on this side. It was just like he just crashing me down one time after the other. And I would always have this verse as a precious gem in my life, that it's the breaker. He is the breaker. He's working on me. He's working on me. He's breaking me. He's breaking me down to use me and to make of me whatever he wants me to be. He's destroying what needs to be destroyed so that he can be glorified. And that has been a tremendous support in my life. And it has been a personal thing that I have kept to myself, and I don't think I've ever really talked about it much or tried to teach it, because it just seemed like it was something that God spoke to me. It was special for me, and I never really heard someone else teach it until recently. I was listening to a speaker online that was speaking to a group of people, and he was preaching. He was sort of praying and prophesying over the people, and after a while he started saying, the breaker has come, the breaker has come, the breaker has come. And all of a sudden it hit me. He's using that verse exactly like I've always believed it. The breaker has come to work in our hearts and to transform our lives and to break us and to make us what he wants us to be. That was the first I ever heard somebody use this term the way I personally applied it to my life. And I guess it gave me courage to preach a message on it this morning. The Breaker, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who opens the way, he will go before us, liberating us and opening the way. He breaks us down and he breaks the way open for us to have liberty, to be free, gives us freedom. A beautiful illustration, one illustration I saw in this verse here, in this scripture. Here it talks about the sheep of Bozrah, the flock and the fold, and the opening of the gates. I think about Jonathan Pate's sheep over here in the barn. He's got sheep packed in that barn over there, probably about 200 of them, I don't know. And I know they are, especially when the weather's getting warmer, they're going to get quite restless in there, and they're going to want out. I watch every now and then. I see the little ones slipping out through the gates every now and then. But one of these days, he's going to open the gates, and he's going to turn them loose, and they're going to be free to roam in the pastures, and they're going to be free to live their life for the purpose that they were designed and for that which they love, and that which they can be, they'll be free to pass through the gate and go out and roam in the pastures and enjoy the pleasures, the beauties of life and the blessings of life. That's what a breaker does. He opens the way. He opens the way for us that we can go forth and experience the blessings of life, the blessings of God, the joy and the peace and the presence of God, and experience the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to do for you and I. He wants to break us and make us and open the doors, open the gates, and give us that freedom to walk with him. He wants to go before us. He is in the head, in the lead. Go before them in the at their head. He's going to be our lead. He's going to go before us and walk before us. And we're free to follow him and to walk with him and to live in the liberty of the Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a life of freedom and joy. But God needs to sometimes put us through the process of breaking us and purifying us and sanctifying us and making us through difficult times at times, things that aren't very pleasant sometimes. I think we all know what that is. There are those dark moments. There are those times that we wonder where God is. We wonder, why are things the way they are? Why is it so dark? Why is it so difficult? But the time comes. He opens the door. He opens the doors. He opens the gate. He releases us and gives us that freedom, gives us that blessing, gives us that liberty. And we have that freedom to walk with him and to glorify him. I brought this plant this morning. This plant, I don't know. How many of you have an amaryllis? Anyone? My mother, that's one of her specialties. She has too many of them for her little apartment. And so I brought a couple home last summer. And that just started blooming this week. One of them just opened yesterday. And I was looking at it, I thought, I needed to bring it along to church. And the more I thought about it, it's a beautiful, it illustrates my message perfectly. It's a beautiful illustration of my message this morning. My sister had them, she had them in last summer, I don't know what time it was, sometime last spring. She wanted to get rid of them, so I brought a couple of them home and stuck them in the flower bed. And they sat there, and well, I think they were just roots. They were just bulbs, maybe, when I put them in. And these little green sprouts came up, and they sat there, a little green plant all summer. And then toward about November, before frost, they told me to take them out of the ground, put them in a pot, put them in a cold, dark, dry place, and forget about them for about 8 weeks. So that's what I did. I took these plants, I put them in these pots, I put them under my house, and shut the door where they got no sunlight, no water, no nothing, and just forgot about them. Until sometime in January, I was down at my mom's, and I saw she had hers up in the windowsill again. I thought, oh, is it time to get them up? She said, well, yeah, she might as well, probably time to get them out again. So I went and got them out. All we had was, you know what, just dead plant. Everything was dead. It was like ashes. It was just black leaves, and there was nothing there. And so I took them, trimmed all the trash off of them, and brought them, set them in the sunshine, and started watering this dead plant. And pretty soon, it started getting the little green shoots, and it came up quite fast, and pretty soon this other stem started coming up, and now we have what we have this morning. I would say for the whole year, probably today is the day whenever it's in its glory. From this time on, it's probably going to start fading away, like we talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson. It's the cycle of goes round and round. It'll start deteriorating, and we'll cut it down and wait till next year till it blooms again. But the interesting illustration I see there was when I took those plants and planted them in my flower bed, you know, the Bible says one place, if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, you will save it, or something to that extent. If I would have taken those plants out of the flower bed and kept them in the house and kept watering them and kept them in the sunshine, I would still just have green plants. But I had to hate it. I had to put it under the house where there's no sunshine and no water and no, let it die. I had to let it die. Whenever it was all died off, then you could bring it out and it can start all over, and it can do what it's supposed to do. That's how our life is. There are times when God just shuts us off and we find ourselves in a dry, dark place. Have you ever found yourself that way? You're just in a dry, dark place and you wonder, where is God? Where is God in this? But the time will come when he'll open the doors again, and he'll open the gates, and he'll reveal his glory. And through it all, he will be glorified. It will be less of me and more of him. It's the process of life. It's the process of sanctification. He puts us down in a cold, dry place so that our self will die. Our carnality will die. Our selfish goals, our self-glory fades away so that his glory can be revealed, so that his glory can come forth. I believe that's what the breaker wants to do in my life and in yours. He wants to break us. He wants to break us down and then bring us out and bring us to the place where he can be glorified, where he can be lifted up, where he can be, his beauty can shine from our life again. That's meant so much to me as I, throughout all my life, as I faced difficult things, things that you would think shouldn't have to happen. But they happen. God puts us through these things, and if we learn to embrace it and just die, then fruit can come forth from our life. I think of one situation I went through here a few years back. I was asked to preach in a camp meeting a few years back, and we were looking forward to it. My wife and I were talked about it, and one time we were in Lancaster visiting with some of her Amish relatives, and they told us about a family reunion coming up a certain time, and my wife looked at me and said, "Is that the same time as the camp meeting?" And I said, "I'm afraid it's very close, it probably is." And some reason we got it in our head then it just sort of settled in our heart that that's when the camp meeting is. And we never thought farther than that. And the Saturday before what we were planning on, the week before, about noon, I got a phone call from a brother. He wondered where I am. He said the tabernacle is packed full of people that came to hear you preach. And I was sitting at home 2 hours away. So what was there to do? It was a terrible experience, but simply embrace it and die. But those kind of things aren't easy. But God takes us through those kind of things sometimes. And it's a way of life. And we just have to learn to embrace those kind of things and go on and let God be glorified. And we don't understand why he deals with us the way he does, but it does It certainly does cause our leaves to wither up and die. Another scripture that where we talked that talks about the breaking in Hosea chapter 10. He says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Jesus wants to break up the fallow ground. He wants us to break up the fallow ground. The breaker wants to come and plow up your heart this morning. He wants to plow up the fallow ground. The fallow ground, I have the word fallow, some synonyms for fallow, that which is dead, dormant, free, simply turned off, idle, inactive, inoperative, unused, or vacant. And you know what happens whenever there is a field that has just been left go, a field that is not that has not been taken care of, it will soon start growing weeds and thorns and thistles, and it will produce anything but good fruit. And God wants to have us break up that fallow ground. He wants to put the plow into our heart and turn those thistles and weeds down and work up that ground and make it fertile so that we can plant seed in it that will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Break up that fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He wants to come and he wants to open the gates and rain righteousness upon you. He wants us to go forth with freedom and liberty in the power of the presence of God. He wants us to be fruitful, to glorify him. That we need to seek the Lord. We need to break our hearts in repentance and brokenness and surrender to him. Then he can purify us and sanctify us. He can turn the sods over. He can put that plow into our heart, the plow of the Word of God. And as we read the Word and pray and seek God and wait on God, he will put that plow into our heart and he will break up that fallow ground. The breaker, Jesus Christ, he wants to break up that hard soil and make it fertile, and make it fruitful. The opposite of fallow, the opposite is that which is active, alive, busy, employed, functioning, going forth, living, operating, running, working, turned on. That's the life God wants to see in us. He wants to see a life that is functioning, that which is working, that which is happening the way he intended it to. That's the opposite of fallow. That's the life that he wants to see coming forth from us. That which is fruitful, that which is producing, that which is employed in the work of the Lord, going forth, living, operating, under the influence of God, his Holy Spirit. He wants to break the ground and plant the seed and bring forth fruit according to his great name. Do not sow your seeds among the thorns. Break off your evil habits. Clear your hearts of weeds so that they will be prepared to receive the seed of righteousness. The cultivator or the breaker, Jesus Christ, will be careful to break up the ground and clear the field of weeds and thorns if we cry out to him for mercy and repentance. So says the prophet, break off your evil ways, repent of your sins, cease to do evil, seek the Lord, cease to do evil, love righteousness, and hate iniquity. Then the good seed of the word of the Lord will have room to grow and bear fruit to his glory. So the responsibility that lies on us is repentance and brokenness, repentance and crying out to him and cleanse our hearts and allow him to do his deep work within us and to break us and to purify us, to sanctify us, to make us what he wants us to be. God wants to break up our fallow ground. He wants to purify our souls. Then there's that scripture in John chapter 12 that's always been precious to me. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Except that seed fall into the ground and die, it's just going to be one seed. It's never going to be any more. It's never going to produce anything. But whenever it falls into the ground and dies, it comes forth and it produces much fruit. It becomes many seeds. So the principle of brokenness and death, it reminds me of my Jesus. Jesus, on that night when he was betrayed, was he not put away into a dark, cold, dry place? He was forsaken by his Father, his Heavenly Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, God turned his back on him, that he suffered, shed his blood, died on the cross for you and me. But God didn't let him there. God brought him out, and he, glorious resurrection, the beauty of the resurrection, the glorious resurrection. And because of that, you and I have opportunity today to experience that resurrection in our life, that reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, living within us, working through us, bringing glory to God. The gates are open. The breaker will open the gates. Give us that liberty. Give us that freedom. Give us that go ahead to serve him, to walk with him, to glorify him. But whatever you are to become in Christ can only come about if whatever you are is allowed to die. You get that? Whatever you are to become in Christ can only come about if whatever you are in yourself is allowed to die. That is my message this morning. We must allow ourselves to die. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ, yet because he lives, we can live. Because he rose from the dead, we rise in peace, in power, in grace, in the presence, with joy, his reality, day by day. Yet this morning, if you find yourself in a dark, dry place, just wait on God. Wait on God. Just keep surrendering yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Embrace the moment that God brings into your life. Embrace the moment. Embrace the circumstances. Embrace the situation. Because God, he's going to open the doors. He's going to open the gates. He's going to turn you loose. He's going to be there for you. He's promised that. You know, talked about this morning, different ones talked about the dark days we're living in with war and the economy and all of the things that are difficult and things that aren't, nothing looks good right now. But you know, one day Jesus is going to come. He's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to receive us unto himself. And we can be with him throughout all of eternity. We're going to bloom with him forever. We wait on him. Keep our faith in him. Keep our trust in him. Keep our hope in him. Be not discouraged. But continue to embrace Jesus.